New York police are investigating the disappearance of a woman, and her son has been arrested for using her credit cards. He's being investigated more closely. Here's the report.
Neighbors are concerned about the well-being of 52-year-old Joan Vayu, last seen Monday with her son.
I'm just hoping and praying that everything turns out okay and it's nothing of what anyone is thinking that might be bad.
But what's alarming to police is that detectives on Wednesday found blood in Vayu's car, including a bloody handprint and blood on her belongings inside her Olinville, Bronx apartment. Now, police arrested her son, Joseph Garcia, for using his mom's credit card and is a person of interest. Meanwhile, Vayu's boyfriend has a history of arrests. He reported her missing Wednesday. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New York.
A group of Californians trying to get signatures on the ballot to secede from the union. Here's more on the story.
The group is called the Yes California Independence Campaign, and they want to hold a vote on whether California should become a separate nation. State officials have given the group the okay to start collecting signatures, and they'll need to hand over around 580,000 verified John Hancocks by July to qualify for the November 2018 ballot. The group wants Cali to be able to set its own laws on things like immigration, the environment, healthcare, and education. Jason Campidonia, Los Angeles.
For more news and in-depth analysis of today's headlines, check out westernjournalism.com. You're listening to USA Radio News.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The president, who I proudly say stands for the right to life, President Donald Trump.
Vice President Mike Pence speaking at the March for Life today in Washington, D.C. Pence said the Trump administration will work with Republicans to defund organizations like Planned Parenthood, but take that money and give it to groups that provide women's health care without abortions.
That's why this administration will work with the Congress to end taxpayer funding of abortion and abortion providers. And we will devote those resources to health care services for women across America.
Twitter officials are not publicly commenting about last night's anti-Trump protest outside their headquarters. The gathering of people chanted, "Uphold your policy, ban Trump." They claim that the comments made by Donald Trump on Twitter amount to hate speech. USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then U.S. Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
Hey, we'll be back with the sports guys. Just wanted to let you know what's happening with the weather. Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm great, Pat. Good afternoon. Cold, windy Friday afternoon.
I'm assuming that I'm going to turn all three mics on because I'm not sure which is which in our new digs. We're here in the new chamber offices on Main Street here in downtown Flemington, the former Scammell Large, was that the law firm?
It's a former Large, Scammell, and Danziger Large law offices. I've been in here many times, but now it's absolutely gorgeous the way they've oops, redone the chamber of as the Chamber of Commerce. I feel like I'm in a mansion, a colonial mansion.
Well, actually, this was, and I think I was commenting earlier, the high ceilings and apparently structurally was a great house. And of course, as we keep going by, it looks pretty bad from the outside, but we will, you know, see that as it will keep getting better and better and better. Anyway.
Let's hear some weather, Pat.
Yeah, let's talk about the weather. They said there might be some scattered snow flurries today. I didn't see anything, Bill. Did you?
I sure did. I was outside at lunchtime for a walk, and we saw some snow flurries as I was on my way back. It's going to stay like this all weekend. I think we're going to see some flurries, maybe a little bit of rain here and there. Cold, wintry, late January
actually,
weekend.
Well, actually, when you think about it, tomorrow is supposed to be partly sunny, high of about 39 degrees, and then mostly sunny on Sunday. So as long as it's sunny and not a lot of wind, I don't know what they're talking about in wind, but this is really, you know, think about it. You know, we're almost in February, and we have not had really bad weather.
We haven't had much snow at all. And, you know, I say to myself, 1 month from today, pitchers and catchers report. So there's spring is just around the corner. The robins are probably warming up and practicing their flying down in Florida.
Well, all I can tell you is, I don't know, I guess you haven't really been that enthusiastic about football because your Eagles didn't get into the playoffs. And, you know, I thought there might be one more game, but the Packers are not going to make one more game.
Well, you know, they had a valiant, valiant effort against Dallas, and they won real well. They won at the end of the game with some amazing play by a lot of people. But I think they shot their bolt. I think that they ran into a red-hot Atlanta Falcons team, and I'm just looking forward to the Super Bowl because I just know the two best teams in the NFL are going to be playing.
Oh, I don't question it at all because I have watched the Seahawk-Falcon game, and I think I may have mentioned this, I was hoping that the Detroit would win against the Seahawks so that Detroit would play the Cowboys, but I was wrong. I mean, when I saw the Seahawk-Falcon game, I realized that Atlanta was a really tough team, and they're going to be a tough team. Frankly, I'm hoping they'll win the Super Bowl, but that should be a good game, and not all Super Bowls are.
That's true. Sometimes Super Bowls are runaways or blowouts, and they're boring. I love Super Bowls where the outcome is in doubt until the last play.
But I don't know how they're going to really stop Julio Jones. I mean, how are the Patriots going to stop him?
Well, Julio Jones is an amazing guy. He played a heck of a game against Green Bay.
Oh, unbelievable.
And he sure played a good game against, was it Houston? I forget. It seems like ages now. And Julio Jones manages to have good hands, good speed. He's very elusive, and he gets some separation.
And I think even when they double-team him, he somehow gets away. And when he, you know, for example, in about the third time that the Falcons had the game against Green, had the ball against Green Bay, you know, they did first and 10. I mean, it was Jones, it was Freeman, and then there was, then it didn't quite look like he made it. Then Freeman again. Ryan, you know, he was able to run in touchdowns. So I think they're really a complete team. I thought that they had some weakness on the defense, but I didn't really see it.
Well, all I can say is the one consolation I take from the Falcons getting into the Super Bowl was that they did lose to the Eagles in Week 3, as did the Steelers in Week 4, when we all had such high hopes for the green and gray. But the worm is turning, and I think that the I'm going to go out on a limb, Pat. I think the Falcons win the Super Bowl. I just think they've got lightning in the bottle somehow.
Well, I'm going to, you know, I'm hoping they're winning. Of course, I would hope that anyone would win against, you know, the Patriots. But it's interesting. I have two grandsons who are avid football fans, and they're hoping that Brady does it.
Well,
and they're not
they're
Patriot
Tom Brady
fans. No. They're one is a Cowboy fan, and I think, you know, he's just so irate that the Cowboys lost to the Packers. I mean, it's really funny because he just now hates the Packers because of what they did to the Cowboys. But I don't think, frankly, I thought that either the Packers or the Cowboys could have won that game, but I don't think either one of them could have won against the Falcons.
No, I don't think so either. I think Falcons-Dallas would have been an interesting matchup. But, again, Dallas's secondary is porous, not as bad as Green Bay was. But I think Green Bay was just really banged up.
Well, they have been banged up. But when Jordy Nelson, not only did he go in, but when he made, I think it was the first two catches of the game, I mean, that was just amazing.
He was playing with a flak vest, and he was not somebody who was expected to play. But I don't think they could have kept him out of that game. Even if they had wanted to, he was just so anxious to play. What was really amazing to me is how frustrating it was for Green Bay throughout this game. One thing went wrong after another. Pat, one of the things I really have to say that I regret is not getting to watch the game with your husband, Dave.
No.
Dave, being an Old Navy guy, I'm sure I would have increased my vocabulary.
Yeah, I mean, he just... You know, about halfway through the game, you know it's going badly when he gets up and gets on his Nordic track.
Oh.
And, you know, and then you hear it going about 100 miles an hour.
Oh,
and
just burning off the frustration.
Well, he just can't, you know, he just can't sit still because it was so bad.
Oh,
and,
a lot
you know,
of
the,
people were squirming.
And you know what? I'm not so sure. And maybe it's better if you're going to lose a game like that to lose it decisively, the way the Packers did. But what was surprising to me was Aaron Rodgers was really off. Now, I know he'd had stomach flu, and I know that, you know, there were injury-wise, the Packers were just, you know, I don't know how they even had enough people to get on the field. But if you watched Aaron Rodgers, there were a few times where he was really throwing precise throws. But often when his receivers were not catching the throws, it was that, you know, he was off, Rodgers was off. And, of course, the other thing is I don't think that I've seen a game in, I can't think of the last game where he was under so much pressure.
Well, he was very frustrated. You could see that. I think he made a valiant effort, and I think he did the best that he could with what he had. But between the injuries and the drops and the take nothing away from the Falcon defense, they were phenomenal. Packers, on the other hand, the Packers secondary looked pretty porous to me. It looked to me like Atlanta could complete a pass whenever it wanted to, and I noticed also that the Green Bay defensive line didn't seem to be quick enough to get position on the Atlanta offensive line. The holes were getting open for running backs, and they were usually a 4 or 5 yard gain. And what's always frustrating to me is when the game is so lopsided that the one team can get a first down anytime it wants.
Well, and that was what was going to happen. I mean, you know, it was just amazing. If they hadn't screwed up a few times, there would have been a lot more points because, you know, it was first and 10 and another, you know, most they would make their third down conversions. They almost consistently made those third, conversions.
Yeah. The other two frustrations were the missed field goal at the beginning of the game by Green Bay when it was 7-0. I thought it was going to be 7-3. and Ripkowski's fumble. He made a tremendous run.
Oh, I know.
And then the ball gets stripped from him while he's on his way down. He's literally lost his footing, but his knee hasn't come down yet, and the ball has popped out. Atlanta's defense, particularly the defensive backs, were so aggressive. And remember, he broke two tackles in the 7 yards that he gained before the ball was forced out from his hands. So you can't really fault a guy when you have two other defending players trying to pry the ball loose from him. He did the best he could. I think it was a valiant effort, but to naught.
Well, he and they did really rip that ball out of his hands. Apparently, that was his first career fumble. So he's never fumbled before.
I
so it's
know
not
that.
One of these droppy. You know, there's some guys, and I'm trying to remember who I was thinking of, who, you know, just dropped so many balls, and I just couldn't, you know, never. I didn't think had the kinds of hands to, you know, consistently play.
What was interesting to me was that as dominant as Atlanta was over a decent but banged up Green Bay team, likewise the Patriots were able to pull away from the Steelers pretty well in the second half. It seemed like the first half they were just toying with the Steelers, and the Steelers are a good team. I don't think anybody really expected them to make the playoffs.
Actually, I was really hoping they'd win the game. But
I was too. But, you know, if you were a betting person, you didn't want to bet the Steelers because they haven't been there in a while. But they were a good team. I like the way Roethlisberger played, although I'm not one of his fans. I think the Steelers, like a lot of other teams that find themselves up against the New England Patriots, have to find a way to win, and that's really hard.
Well, you know, I would like to be sitting in Atlanta and hearing some of what they're saying this week, you know, on how they're going to deal with the Patriots. I think you know, Houston, of course, will be a warm venue, so they're not going to be playing in the cold, so that the Patriots won't have any advantage there.
Well,
interesting. I just hope that what happens, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I hope what happens is the New Orleans game where the Patriots and the Packers played, and, of course, the Packers won that Super Bowl. So hopefully we'll Atlanta will win this one, and if, however, I really think that the team next year to watch, if they don't lose a lot of players, is what team do you think? I really think it's going to be tough next year. Young team, if they don't lose players, I think that the Cowboys are really looking at this point as if they could be the best team in football next year.
Well, there's a lot of slips between the cup and the lip. That's why they have to play all 16 games. But I agree with you, Pat. I think Dallas could easily run away with the NFC East. I think the Eagles will get better, but not that much better. I think the Giants have a limited window of opportunity with Eli Manning. That's going to close soon. And remember, they don't have a lot of good people around Manning lately. Odell Beckham needs to get himself under control and play better and play with a more mature focus.
Well, and he also needs to start acting like an adult.
Yeah. I think the Philadelphia Eagles, though, are going to find themselves challenged to put some really good people around Carson Wentz to protect him both in the pocket and on the wide receiving position.
Yeah, they really need to protect him. Listen, why don't we play a couple spots and come back? And I think maybe actually hearing John, who would be joining us. And, of course, I can't find...
you're looking for your list.
I'm looking for my list.
In front of you, Pat. There it is.
This is only one sheet. So I'll just pay him for next time. Well, or maybe we don't have to pay them.
And we have
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Wesley Goldsmith today.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
We're on the air, guys. Back on with the sports guys.
We have John Frito with us to inaugurate our first initial show in this gorgeous new studio that we have at the old Large Mansion here in downtown Flemington, and I have to tell you, I'm impressed.
Bill, thank you very much. Pat, thank you. And yes, Bill, it is impressive. Pat, how do you feel about the new digs and how it enhances our ability to bring sports to the community?
Well, if nothing else, we get to look out over Main Street. But this is really going to be quite a building in Flemington. And for those of us who hadn't been in here for years, or those of us who had been in here more recently, it's just unbelievable what they have done and what they'll be continuing to do.
It's a venerable establishment, Bill, and I'm sure, like myself, had occasion to be here as a lawyer on doing closings and so forth over the years. And it always was a weird feeling kind of coming in, because you had a feeling that it was old Flemington. I mean, this used to be the center of tremendous legal activity.
Well, remember that
incorporate.
A large law firm represented many, many large corporations, and this was their
the home office, right?
Home office.
They would have their annual meetings here.
They would have their annual
Delaware companies, New Jersey companies.
Companies like Kodak or Kodak
oil companies, big oil companies.
Sure, they'd rent out the auditorium at Huntington Central when I was going to high school and have their annual shareholders meetings. So this is a very venerable law firm that I think
maybe we could get Trump, Bill, to help us bring those annual meetings back to Flemington. Oops, the hotel was closed. But
well, you never know.
Well, he may be in the he may want to build another one now that he finished his last hotel.
Well,
hey guys, let's talk sports.
Okay,
I guess
I
none of us are.
We're talking a lot of football. I want you all to know my Philadelphia Flyers seem to have reversed their fortune and won
at least the last couple games.
Yeah, they won three in a row.
It was a great 2-0 win over the Rangers.
Yeah, and they had a 5-4 win over the Islanders, and they beat the Maple Leafs 2-0 as well. They managed to
suddenly they've tightened up
the
defense.
Sheet. Pardon?
They've tightened up the defense and goaltending.
Well, that
because that just abandoned them.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happened. Plus, they are suddenly looking like a team that can play 60 minutes, so it's starting to get exciting again. We have the All-Star break coming up, and I have to tell you, I don't like All-Star games. They bore me to pieces.
So you mean you're not going to be glued to the TV set this weekend for the NFL Pro Bowl where nobody hits? The rumor has it when they actually hit each other, even in the lines, they say, oh, excuse me.
Well, what I like about the Pro Bowl is that they never really show you the grandstands. Because
nobody's there.
I mean,
well, especially when it was played over in Hawaii.
Right.
Now,
who's going to fly to Hawaii to see the game?
Now I think there'll be more people.
About,
what are they playing? Aren't they playing in Florida?
Yes. I believe they're playing in
that
Orange
should
Bowl.
Be.
But the other, if you think about it, it's ludicrous because the two best teams in football who would have a fair number of the best players that would be in that game aren't there because they're preparing for the Super Bowl. But having said that, remember back just a few short years ago when the Pro Bowl followed the Super Bowl? Nobody watched that game.
After
the Super Bowl, so anticlimactic.
Well, but I disagree. I think that made more sense.
Well, but
because,
you get the players to play,
right,
but nobody cares.
Right.
The season's over. Nobody cared.
I'm not so sure.
That's why they moved it back and made the bye week permanent.
Well, it's always, the football.
Now, it's the other thing. Some years you had a bye week with the Super Bowl, and some years you didn't. There was no rhyme or reason. Now they've straightened that out. And quite
frankly, you don't think that, I frankly would probably watch the Pro Bowl if I thought the best players were actually playing. So, so often the best players don't.
It's an exhibition. What they're better off doing, Pat, is just donating money. It's for the players' fund. The money goes to the players' fund, but most and the networks kick in. But I mean, it's not a high grossing game because they know the viewership is way, way down.
But everybody wants to be named a pro.
Well, because it's in their contract, and they make more money.
Well, not only that, if it isn't, but that's your right, Bill. But even if it isn't, just the panache
best
that comes
best.
With that.
If the NFL wanted to be smart and make a good PR move, they would literally give away the seats to a charity.
Correct.
Or what they would do is they would give away half the seats to people in the armed forces.
Yeah, something like that. That would be a great move.
But they don't do things like that. Remember, if you have an armed forces ceremony in an NFL game, whatever branch of the service is paying.
It's paying the NFL.
I can't believe that. I cannot believe that.
I was shocked
that
I read that.
That's
horrible.
Well,
especially because when you think about it, they don't always do it now. Sometimes they have helicopters, but they used to have the Jets.
The Jets, yeah.
Coming.
I was in Giant Stadium when the Jets went over one time, and I could not believe it.
Well, but wait a minute. We'd do this in Lambeau, and they would be coming from Maryland.
Yeah.
Now, seriously.
Burn a lot of fuel.
Those Jets, and that's what was always so amazing, because they were so precise. And it may be Maryland, it may be somewhere else, but they were not close. In other words, they were flying halfway across the country.
Well, Pat, they put the Jets in the areas where the land is worth protecting. So, of course, nothing's going to be close to Wisconsin.
Well,
by way of Jets, that is.
I don't know about that. I was in Giant Stadium years and years ago, and the Giants were playing Pat's hated Vikings. And
Brett Favre's favorite team, yeah, right.
Yeah, and they had the Blue
Skating
Angels.
Skating on thin ice there, John.
They had the Blue Angels doing an aerobatics exhibition over the stadium.
How dangerous
is that?
Kickoff
was 1 o'clock, and the air show was literally the halftime show. And it was phenomenal. I mean, to see what I think was an F-15 screaming right just over top of the stadium. I was sitting in the mezzanine.
Yeah,
incredible
exactly.
How loud that is.
Well, that's always what they would do. Although I think maybe 4, but I thought there were 3 or 4 would go over Lambeau routinely. Now they have the helicopters coming over.
Yeah.
But that's only been maybe the last year or two.
I can remember, and Bill, identify with your story, because I was in Giant Stadium, same thing near the top of the shell, and these Jets are going over, and when they first come at you, they're a dot.
Yeah.
And in seconds, they're massive, huge, the noise alone. And I remember I was there with my good friend Steve Brady from Morgan Stanley, and I said, Steve, could you imagine being on the ground? and the subject of a strafing run and these things coming at you. I mean, it was inconceivable that these machines, with the mass that they have, the power, the speed, just the sound. I mean, it's incomprehensible how big they are.
If you've ever seen jet aircraft, particularly fighters or fighter bombers, go over top when top of you when they're practicing, or an experience I had when I was 14, when they weren't practicing, they were doing something serious over outside of the country. What you will see when they're flying 200 feet up, and you look up and you see them, and then you don't.
Because they're doing Mach 1.5.
They're going 600 miles an hour, and the noise from the engines are deafening. But getting back to the NFL and getting back to the
so anyway, sports, the military would do that for free, and then the NFL. That's how why I brought it up.
Bill, do you know when they started that remuneration relationship?
I think it's been the last 10 years.
Maybe after 9/11.
Remember, the military has a pretty sizable advertising budget.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The Army has a be all you can.
Every American taxpayer should be sorely aware of that.
And you know, they want young people to join the military, and they want people who are already in to stay, and they want the reservists to reenlist. So you see a lot of ads on television. I always thought the military should get that for free for two reasons. Number one, the money comes out of our pockets every April 15th or every paycheck.
Yep.
And number two, if the NFL wants to wrap itself in the flag, why should our armed forces have to pay for it? And number three, television gets to use our public airways.
That's right.
So I've always said, you know, there's some things that you shouldn't.
So are you saying, because I still don't understand this, are you saying that the military pays for anything other than the TV ads?
They pay for any display on the field.
They pay for television advertising. The NFL gets a lot of money from the armed forces to put ads on.
Yeah, every football game has Navy and
The Army.
Navy and the Army, pretty much.
Wait. Yeah. Are you talking?
You don't usually see the Air Force, though.
I could understand if we're talking TV ads, because they're paying for TV ads.
But the
ceremony on the field, that's outrageous.
Yeah, it is, and it came out. I think it leaked out. The NFL obviously didn't want people to know about that, but it leaked out a year or two ago, because I know when I heard it, I thought it was false.
You know,
I did not think it was true.
I had thought, I had said that's hard to believe, and then I think it was Senator McCain or some other,
probably somebody like McCain,
someone like John Glenn, who
yeah,
had
real patriot,
the armed forces,
real American.
You know, saying that it was unfortunate that when they had these kinds of ceremonies that you had, the NFL was making the government pay for it. And I don't know, that sort of sticks in my craw. I'm not
little
sure
bit,
why.
Little bit, yeah. Back onto your point, Pat, about the Lambo exhibition. Did you say there were four jets that went over?
I don't remember. You know, I should. I don't remember if it was three or four. But that was routine, and you would hear them.
Every home game that you went to, or is this special?
Yeah, no, every home game.
Every home game. So
that's amazing.
Maybe my memory is wrong, but I remember the jets flying over home games.
Wow.
And in fact, it was surprising when they now they do the helicopters.
Well, but
at every game now, the helicopters?
Really?
The helicopters come over.
Really?
You know what I always thought was very cool?
Although sometimes, I'm trying to remember if this year, if we saw the jets go over once.
It could have even been the Wisconsin Air National Guard.
Good point. Probably so. Yeah. I would tend to agree with that.
I don't think
isn't,
so.
Milwaukee one of the air bases.
Maybe it used to be an
Billy
old
Mitchell
SAC.
Used to
it was
be.
An old SAC command.
Billy Mitchell used to be, but that's the regular
Billy
airport
Mitchell.
Now.
Billy Mitchell, I won the William the Mitchell Bomber. Award when I was in the Civil Air Patrol. I won the William Mitchell
wow.
Award because I got a perfect score on
well,
my
let, let's,
aviation
let's tell our
two
listening
exam.
Audience who Billy Mitchell was.
Oh, Billy Mitchell. Wow.
Well, Billy Mitchell got into a lot of trouble because he
yes.
advocated air power to be used against naval power.
Yeah, over the sea power. Yeah,
and
yeah.
He turned out to be right.
He turned out to be right.
Back in 1925 or 26.
Yeah.
He took a couple of old multi-wing bombers and managed to sink a cruiser with them.
Yeah,
And for some reason, it wasn't authorized, so they tried to court-martial him.
Right, that's the irony of it.
Yeah,
but,
little did they know that...
Well, was he from Wisconsin? Is that why
I
Billy
think
Mitchell...
I may have been, Pat.
Field
I
is,
thought Billy
I,
Mitchell was from
I
Wisconsin
think he, I think
because
he was.
There is a Mitchell Field
yes.
in Milwaukee.
The Mitchell Air Base.
Mitchell Air Base,
But
yeah.
there's also Billy Mitchell Field in Milwaukee.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the case. And, you know, thinking about it, it didn't dawn on me until just now when Bill first mentioned about being Giants Stadium and you mentioned about the field. I was at the Giants game the week after 9/11 when they announced, literally at that time, it was 5 minutes to one, and the players were coming out on the field when they bombed Afghanistan a week after 9/11. And I was at the Giants game, and as I looked up, it was over the radio, and the word was spreading throughout the crowds. The coaches knew, but they did not tell the players. They didn't want them to be occupied. Mm-hmm. But let's see, in 9/11, it was Jim Fossil of the Giants, and I forget who the Redskins coach was at the time. It might have been the second tour for what's his name at the Redskins?
That
might have been Joe Gibbs. Yeah. But anyway, I remember now looking up, and in the four corners of the sky were helicopters standing still. It was the no-fly zone because there were 76,000
right.
people in Giant
right.
Stadium. They had four helicopters hovering. Just they did not move for 3 hours. They
wow.
were just right in that one spot. Because you can do that with a helicopter. And it was an amazing display of military power.
Well, I remember going to Yankee Stadium when...
And I was with you.
No, right after 9/11.
I was with you.
And we saw the Orioles play. And
No, it wasn't 9/11. Because it was in the summertime. Because you and I, we went to the game. And it was so hot, we had to come under. It was in July.
Right.
What was the big occasion? Because nobody else went. There were only like a few hundred people at the game. Remember, our wives didn't want us to go because
it was too hot.
It wasn't 9/11. That was September.
But there was something with a heat wave. But
in July. A terrorist attack?
I think somebody was concerned about a terrorist attack. And
there was a rumor that they were going to blow up. Something more in New York.
In New York,
yeah.
And there
yeah.
were F-16s circling
all
the stadium.
All over the place, yeah. Military presence all over
yeah.
the city.
And right after 9/11, I went to see the Yankee-Oakland wild card game. And circling above the stadium were helicopters, relatively low. And above that, much higher. They were just allowing airplanes to fly because you remember President Bush grounded the entire Civil Air fleet.
Right, right.
So the American airspace was empty.
Never forget that Tuesday afternoon when we went outside and even the birds were quiet.
Yeah.
You could see nothing in the sky. That blue, cerulean blue sky, few white clouds over New Jersey, bright sunshine, and there was this, it was almost as if nature was in mourning.
Yeah.
Just in mourning, it was like Mother Nature had her head down. It was just some unbelievable. Even the birds, everything was quiet. It was an amazing.
But you know,
thing.
When you think about it, they did not stop any of those games. I know there was a great deal of concern.
Well, they compared it to the JFK
right.
assassination that
right.
he would have wanted the games to
right.
be played, and Pete Rozelle made that decision. And in retrospect. People think it was the right thing, and I think they followed that example, Pat.
Well,
no, I agree that it was the right decision.
Because I was at the Giants game that Sunday.
I think it was a good decision. And you may recall that during World War II, President Roosevelt wanted baseball to continue.
Yeah, that's why we had Eddie Goodell
That's right, the St. Louis Browns.
Women's baseball, one-armed midget. You know. Well, the other thing, and you know, since it's a sports program, that's when women's baseball really became prominent.
Right.
And of course, after the end of the war, it just died.
Right. But you know, that was a great movie. I love the line. There's no crying in baseball.
In a league of their own, was that?
League of their own. There's no crying in baseball.
But the that was one of the things that apparently Roosevelt wanted to maintain. Was baseball, and yet so many of the players were in service.
Oh, sure. Ted Williams was a pilot. You had people like DiMaggio that got drafted, and he was in the Navy, although I think his job in the Navy was to play baseball to entertain the troops.
But he was there.
Yeah, he was in the service.
Yeah, they all went. Just think about that. I mean, I realize it's 75 years ago.
Sure,
but think about that. Think about Sidney Crosby. Going in the Canadian Army and going overseas somewhere. Well, think about some of the prima donnas in this. You know, LeBron James putting a uniform on if they could find one to fit him.
Wait a minute. They drafted Elvis, so why not LeBron James?
There you go.
Well, my father was in naval intelligence.
Which is an oxymoron, but go ahead.
Well, not then it wasn't, believe me.
Naval intelligence then was serious.
And I don't know if Henry Fonda was in naval intelligence, but I know that I don't know how close a friend, but he was friendly with Henry Fonda. Wow. And so many of those actors at that point went into service. And anyway, we're getting a bit of feel from our sports.
Well, you know, Pat, we always say sports mirrors life. And Bill, you and I have had many discussions about this over the years, and maybe this is just the day. It's the bye week, and we're going to be all hyped up for the Super Bowl next week. But
no, we're not. Who cares? I mean,
it is starting to generate a lot of press because you're looking at New England with impenetrable. Offensive line, can't get pressure on Brady. And the word out there, it's a 3-point game now, New England favorite. If they can get pressure on Brady, the Falcons have a chance. If they can't, New England will score every time they have the ball. Whereas Atlanta will score a lot of points too, but the Patriots' defense will stop them occasionally. So the way to stop Brady, always just ask the New York Giants. Pressure up the middle against Brady. But that is going to be difficult for this Atlanta defense.
You think that they can stop Julio Jones?
They won't stop him, but they'll slow him down.
Okay. Because
I think if they play a lot of bump and run with him and throw him off his routes, they're going to be successful.
I mean, that's what the Patriots do.
They
receivers at the line of scrimmage.
And how are they going to go after Ryan? Because you leave him open, and he'll run into that touchdown.
Ryan is probably the closest thing to Aaron Rodgers.
I agree.
And, you know, Brady is just precision-like, surgical almost, whereas Rodgers and Ryan are very accurate throwers, but they move around so much that it's very difficult to defense them. So, you know, like Rodgers, if the Patriots don't contain Ryan, he's going to take off on him, Pat. So
I agree.
If you jam the receivers, as Bill suggests, I think that's the correct strategy, you know, Ryan can take off too.
Well, and he did, you know, he did against the Packers.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have somebody watching him, he made at least one touchdown.
Well, you know, I guess there's been five matchups in the past, the number one offense against the number one defense in the Super Bowl, and the defensive teams have won four of the five times,
right,
including the Giants twice.
Yeah. No, it's...
Well, I think the Super Bowls are won by good defense.
Most championships are, Bill.
Yeah, in fact, probably when you think about it, most games are.
Well, we have a thing in chess. It's called defend before you attack. I mean, this is a universal, again, sports mirroring life. You know, you can't start throwing darts and stones until you make sure that you're protected yourself. You can't throw punches.
Right.
without making sure that they're not caught with that right cross.
Are there any real serious injuries in the Patriots?
No,
the
both teams are pretty healthy. Both teams are healthy on the lines, and I think the line play will be critical. As Bill mentioned last week, line play will be critical.
I think absolutely. If you watch the linemen, both offensively and defensively, in the Pittsburgh Patriots game.
That's where New England won that game, yeah, sure.
What you saw was that the Pittsburgh offensive linemen could not keep their feet parallel to the line of scrimmage on run plays, and the New England Patriots were actually able to turn them so that they would open holes for their running game on their running plays. Hmm. On the pocket protection plays where everybody knew Brady was going to throw, you had tremendous control over the Pittsburgh defense.
Yeah, they never got close to Brady.
By the Steelers, because you just could not see them penetrating the line really. I think they got to Brady twice and knocked him down twice.
That was about it, yeah.
Was he sacked once?
I think he might have. Who has the real incentive,
the real drive? Is it the Patriots because they want one more notch in their belt?
Well, I think Brady is out because of the suspension, and he wants to put his stamp on this thing. He's obsessed with it, and I think that's why he's going to lose.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think as I said to Pat before, Atlanta has captured lightning in the bottle. They were very good against Green Bay. They've been very good the whole second half of the season. They're gelling. They're coming together at just the right time. And as we've discussed many times here, sometimes it's not that you've got the better players, but you've got the better team.
You're playing well with each other. Healthy and gelling.
Well, I have to tell you, I never expected the fiasco that would be the Atlanta Packer game.
The Packers had nothing left at that. Too many guys that went down.
Because, you know, because the other game that they played was really close. So, you know, you just didn't expect to.
But that was, and you see that in football. They put what you see in September, October is not December, January. They were different teams, totally different.
Well, but the Packers were a better team, one would think.
I think that game, interestingly enough, was the game when Atlanta realized, hey, we can win this thing. We just beat the Packers, and who are healthy, and Aaron Rodgers, and we can win this. I think that game was a huge springboard game for the Falcons.
Oh, I do too.
I do too. I think that what we could
What was amazing is how they laid an egg in Philadelphia.
Right.
That game was for the birds, as they say.
So they say. And that was really Philadelphia's bright, shining moment this season.
Well, and we always know, most of us, if you're thinking of the real birds, would rather have an eagle than a falcon.
Right. I'm sure you would. But remember something. The eagle.
Gosh. How did Philadelphia ever get such a great name for their football team? I don't think I'd ever thought of that before.
Because they started in the 30s when no one else had the name. They could have been the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets.
How about the Beloit Fairies?
Really?
There was a team early on. You know, there were the Packers, Chicago, and there was a team in that league called the Beloit Fairies.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, does anybody know, since we're talking about names, a little trivia here, how did the Cleveland Browns acquire their name?
I think it's like they're brownies, you know, like a little, you know, before you're a Girl Scout, you're a brownie if you're a little girl. I think a brownie is like a pixie or a fairy or an elf.
Okay. Pat, what's your guess on that?
That one I don't know.
Okay. You want to know the very simple answer?
Sure.
Who was the... Before there was Tom Landry and before there was the genius, Bill Walsh, there was Paul Brown. And the guy had such an ego that he named the team after himself.
The Browns were Paul Brown's team.
I almost thought that, but my memory wasn't that clear.
Weird, because once he was deposed, He was the first coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, which became the arch rival. I mean, the Bengals come in. Of course, they were the Bungles, but they come into Cleveland with Paul Brown as the head coach against the team named after him. How I remember that in the 1970s.
Well,
that was
amazing. Irony's abound in sports, don't they? I heard a report today that the Cleveland Indians are thinking of changing both their name and the logo to the Cleveland Drones.
Well, they should change the logo, but
I think they should change it to the Cleveland
but
Nets.
But think about those people back that were in the early sports.
Like in the 1800s.
You know, no, 1920s. More recent than that. But you know the guy who I think was probably one of the more interesting, and I would like to, you know how they say, who would you like to have dinner with?
Yep.
It would have been Bill Veeck.
The ultimate showman.
Yeah, he really was.
It's not just a midget going up to bat. You know what Veeck once did?
Well, he also told him that if he hit the ball, he was going to shoot him. He had somebody up on the roof that would shoot him.
He's supposed to just stand there and the bat was never spun. Yep. By the way, does anybody know what the result of that bat was?
He walked. He walked
because the strike zone was 6 inches off the ground.
Yeah, right.
And the guy who was pitching to Eddie Gaedel was laughing so hard he couldn't find the strike zone. and what it made even funnier was Gaedel wore a number 3/4.
Three quarters. And you know, I don't think they have any video of that.
I don't think they
I've
do
never
either.
Seen it. I don't think they had any cameras
filmed.
There.
It was never filmed because it was never back filmed. Then in the 40s, they didn't film games.
Yeah,
especially
no film
then that was during the war, friends. Right?
Well, yeah.
And so, you know, they would not have.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, if you think about an event, something like that, no film.
Remember, the St. Louis Browns moved to Baltimore in 54 and became the Orioles.
Correct.
But, you know, they shared Sportsman's Park with the Cardinals, who were the creme de la creme of Midwestern baseball.
Yep.
Yeah, but there were a lot of Midwesterners. I mean, I don't remember the Browns. I remember hearing about them, obviously. But there were a lot of Midwesterners that really followed the Browns. You know, it was either the Cubs or the Browns.
Pat, and some Oriole fans, third, fourth generation, will say, well, my grandfather was an Oriole fan because he was a Brown fan.
Right.
I've heard that before.
I've heard that, too.
Few and far between these days. But,
but
there
remember,
are families that will tell you that.
In Wisconsin, I mean, it was either the Cubs. I mean, I don't know of anybody who was ever a White Sox fan.
Yeah, the Cubs were the darlings. The White Sox,
don't have that panache. The White Sox were the
South
Side sort of shot and beer crowd kind of fans, whereas the Cubs were more like
Obama's team. It says it all right there.
The Mets. You know, it was like if you were, you know, a Yankee fan, you went to a certain religious institution and you had a better job. And if you were a Dodgers fan, you went to a different
kind of like Giants, Jets.
And you spoke with a
very, very similar. The Yankees were always an Italian Jewish fan base. That was the Yankees. And the Mets came along, and I'm not sure. They were the Mongrels. I don't know.
Well, you're not from the New York area, so I think you have it backwards.
You think so?
I think so. My Uncle Jack.
Yeah, the Yankees had so many players of Italian descent that a lot of old Italians rooted for the Yankees because they had Berra and they had DiMaggio and they had all these Italian guys.
Of course they did, but remember, there were people with money rooted for the Yankees. People without money rooted for the Dodgers. And people who lived in Manhattan.
The bums,
Went to see the Giants.
Giants, yeah.
My Uncle Jack had it all figured out. He explained it to me once. We were sitting in the polo grounds. I was 7 years old. We were watching the Mets. No, it was about 8 or 9. We were watching the Mets. And I had a...
The 62 Mets, huh?
Yes. Actually, it was the 61 Mets. It was the first season.
No, the first season was 62, Bill.
It was the middle of April, and it was not the home opener, but the second game. And my Uncle Jack, Dodger fan that he was, wanted to see Duke Snider run out on the field and play center field, which, of course, he did. And everybody got up and applauded because 4 years before, O'Malley had taken the Dodgers... ripped them from Brooklyn and sent them 3,000 miles.
And I have heard many stories about that, Bill. My good friend Dick Charlton, who is now deceased, my tennis partner for many, many years, said it was a religion in New York. And
the
day they woke up and saw that newspaper, he said it was literally like a family member died. He said it was so unforgivable. It was devastating.
My mother told me, and she was a diehard Dodger fan, it was a complete surprise to everybody.
Everybody, yeah. Heard. Yeah. It made Bob Irsay, the Colts' midnight escape to Indianapolis, look good. I mean, it was totally unpublicized. Nobody knew. Of course, today there's so many leaks and everything. You could never do it. I mean, look at the Raiders and the Charger. I mean, everybody knew what was going to happen. And boy, isn't that weird? The Chargers moved to Los Angeles and nobody cared. Kind of like, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody there to see it, did it really? Was there any sound or did it really happen? You know, it's same thing about the Chargers. Nobody cares.
Well, why should they?
It'll be interesting to see.
Get the Rams back.
And the Raiders, Bill, will be in Las Vegas, which is where Bill and I will be.
Is it going to be? I mean, I've heard that there's still a lot of pushback and that they haven't finalized that.
Well, first of all,
have they?
That is correct. They have not finalized it. Yeah.
I think it's terrible because San Diego's got their own market. The team obviously does well there.
Yeah, and Spanos can make an extra couple hundred million with the luxury boxes. They won't build them a new stadium. Well, you know, why should they? That has long been proven. And, you know, my dad said this, you know, back in the 70s when all these new stadiums were being built and they were big push in the Boston area to build a stadium for the Patriots. And my father said, that's right. This is, you know, my father was always a man before his time.